This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Well, it was a pretty active day in college basketball yesterday, obviously, with the first round of the NCAA basketball tournament. And then what took place last night with Kentucky going down ahead of the Texas Tech game. That was, man, that was something. You know, now there's going to be, I think, a lot of questions about, you know, the future of how that's going to go down for John Calipari. The problem for Kentucky is if you were to dismiss him just outright, you'd owe him $33 million. And that's the knee-jerk reaction. But then kind of just peel back the onion a little bit and look at how it's been going for him. I think the last 5 years, they're 1-4 in NCAA tournament play. So they've had some quick exits, and it may be more of a change in strategy and how they do things than anything else. The recruiting of the one and done versus utilizing the transfer portal and having veteran guys. And one of the things, you know, that we had talked about or that I'd brought up and, you know, was, you know, when you play these teams like, you know, Oakland or a Wagner or a Samford or somebody like that, a team that you just hadn't heard of, but these are guys that in some cases have played together for a long time, or, and a long time now is probably 2 years, but in some cases they maybe have played together 3 or 4, and their style of play
matters too.
It matters. Yeah. And you know, in Kentucky's case, you're playing against guys that are in their 20s, and these are basically kids that are a year out of high school, and I'm not trying to cape up for them or anything.
I was going
to
say, nobody's feeling bad.
No.
I mean, Kentucky's loaded with talent.
Yeah. I mean, they've made this decision to go in this direction. It's just, they may have to change what they're thinking, but.
Yeah, nobody's saying they can't have 3 or 4 year players too.
That's right. No, they've chosen to go the route that they did. But man, give credit to Oakland last night, the 14 seed. Taking down Kentucky 80-76, and I wasn't thinking ahead about, oh, hey, man, you're going to get a favorable matchup, because I knew that the matchup that, you know, Tech was going to have was going to be very formidable. But when you
kinda... weren't? I mean, you weren't looking at Oakland winning against Kentucky and thinking, goodness gracious, if Oakland win this game, it's a path to the Sweet 16 for the Red Raiders.
I did. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I did. I didn't try to get too far ahead of myself, because I sometimes get accused of being too far ahead of myself and looking too far down the road. So I was trying to kind of measure things a little bit as I was, you know, getting ready to watch that game and watching the end of the Kentucky game. You know, the Oakland kids, they made 15 threes. That's a big difference in the ball game.
Yeah, one guy had 10.
Yeah, and he's like 24 years old. You know, Kentucky had a ton of points in the paint. They doubled them up. They had 32 in the paint. But when you put up 15 threes and the other team puts up 9, that's a difference of 6 in the game, and they won by 4. Neither Kentucky nor Oakland shot the ball particularly well from the free throw line. Kentucky ended up being 15 of 20. Oakland was 13 of 23. But man, what a victory last night for them. A number of double digit seeds winning last night.
You know, you're just rubbing salt in the wound right now with talking about Kentucky.
Well, I mean, no matter what kind of salt you want to, I mean, it's a bitter pill to swallow, no question.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about that game specifically, not the tournament as a whole. But
yeah, I'm not trying to rub any salt in the wound.
No, well, I didn't say you were trying to, but I just said you were.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, no matter what happens in the other side of the bracket the game that you were about to match up with, and I got to believe that most Red Raider fans like myself, seeing Oakland winning that game, were like, oh, man, this is great for us.
We've got
a great shot to get to the Sweet 16 now, you know, fully well knowing that NC State was a tough game, but you felt like if you won it, the path was definitely kind of opened up for you a little bit. Yeah. So, you know, now that Oakland win over Kentucky is a lot less exciting to me.
Yes. No.
Then it was before our game started.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. The other late game last night, man, the Samford fan base is probably still outraged at the foul that wasn't called, the foul that was called that shouldn't have been called on the Kansas dunk. That basically is the difference in the ball game at the end. I mean, I realize you're allowed to score more points and all those, but it was a clean dunk, a clean block, I should say. That's what I meant to say, is a clean block, and they get whistled for a foul. A.J. Stanton McCray gets called for a foul, and that puts Nicholas Timberlake at the free throw line, and he hits two free throws, and it sealed the deal. So here's my question for you. You know, you had, and that game had a ton of reviews, because I watched that game after the Tech game, and then I caught a little bit of the first half while the Tech game was in the halftime. So that game had a ton of reviews about, you know, shot clock and was he out of bounds and, you know, all this other stuff. Is it time for college basketball to take a look at having a challenge on the men's side and with regard to fouls? And maybe it's the last 2 minutes of the first half or the last 2 minutes of the game. Is that something that would just not go over well, and this is just the facts of life that you're going to have missed calls from time to time?
I think at this point I'm in favor of all sports, that it being about challenges from the sideline or the dugout or whatever, mm-hmm. and it not just being the officials checking on themselves and in the entire juncture of the game. Maybe you give them more challenges than you're currently giving them, but
more leeway, because here's the deal, though. If you like in that case last night, let's say you had the opportunity to challenge that call, I think the official that makes the call should be taken out of the equation of the review. The other two officials should do the review.
Judgment calls like fouls, I think it would probably end up being very similar to what we saw in the NFL with pass interference, that it would, those wouldn't mm-hmm. be overturned very often.
No,
that'd be my guess.
You're probably right.
Whose hand the ball went off of, or did he have a toe on the sideline? You know, and maybe even was it goaltending? I think you could see those get changed a little bit more, but I just think the foul calls, that would be, they, it would be unlikely that they would be overturned at a high rate.
Yeah, yeah. My K-State brother immediately texted me and said, that was a logo foul. I was like, yes, it was. There's no question about it. It was the wrong call, because Samford would have had the ball, and they would have had a fast break, and they would have been 5-on-4, and might have been a completely different outcome.
Maybe so.
For them. So.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, Morning Drive. Today is Friday, March the 22nd, 2024. Here is Jeff McGuire with a stay in sports history.
You know, starting 1958 with the 20th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, Kentucky beat Seattle 84-72. Seattle's future Hall of Fame small forward Elgin Baylor is named Tournament Most Valuable, Most Outstanding Player. 1969, 31st Men's Basketball Championship took place. UCLA beats Purdue 92-72. Bruins three-peat center Lou Alcindor, Tournament Most Outstanding Player, for the third consecutive year. 1986, HBO launches boxing's heavyweight title unification tournament. This was kind of the heyday of the heavyweight time.
Yeah.
When HBO was doing fights every Saturday night.
Jim Lampley.
Mm-hmm. 1989, Pete Rozelle announces his retirement as NFL commissioner after 29 years. 2009, Garrett Tolton hits a grand slam, and Chris Richburg goes 3-for-5 with 2 home runs as the Texas Tech Red Raiders upset number 9 Baylor in Waco 13-8. We could use some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2019, in the first steps toward an NCAA finals appearance, men's basketball's Jarrett Culver scores 29 points and has 8 rebounds as the Red Raiders beat Northern Kentucky 72-57. Jamie's, one of Jamie's favorite movies is Waterworld.
I don't know about favorites, but I like it.
You like it? Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, you're close today, Jamie, because it's World Water Day.
World Water Day. Okay, water is good.
Water is very good, but it's not Water World Day. So.
Are you spending time on the water today? Is that what it is?
I think it's just celebrate the liquid that we all need to survive.
Yeah.
Maybe do some work to clean
important.
It up.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, pick up some trash, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday, Reese Witherspoon, who's 48. J.J. Watt, 35. William Shatner, 93. Matthew Modine, 65. Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars is 59. Sean Bradley, 52. And Wolf Blitzer is 76.
Wolf Blitzer.
And on this day in 1765, in an effort to raise funds to pay off debts and defend the vast new American territories won from the French in the Seven-Year War, the British government passes the Stamp Act. The legislation levied a direct tax on all materials printed for commercial and legal use in the colonies, from newspapers and pamphlets to playing cards and dice. Now, the colonists had recently been hit with three major taxes at this point. The sugar tax of 1764, which levied new duties on imports of textiles, like wines, coffee, and sugar, and the Currency Act, which caused a major decline in the value of the paper money used by the colonists, and the Quartering Act, which required colonists to provide food and lodging to British troops under certain circumstances. These all basically got lumped together as the Intolerable Acts, according to the colonists. Realizing that it was actually costing more to enforce the Stamp Act than the protest... than they were getting from the protesting colonies, the British government abolished it the following year. However, the damage was done, and the colonies were united in a way that would lead to revolution. And that is this day in sports history.
There was civil unrest.
I've come up with a really good idea for Coach McGuire.
Okay.
During today's, this day in sports history.
Okay.
You know how we have different names for like, I don't know, a quasi linebacker / safety, mm-hmm. you know, bandit position or the star position. Or
the point forward.
Okay.
On basketball.
Okay. I've got a new name for like a guy that you're bringing from the secondary. Sometimes, you know, you'll roll a safety down or a corner mm-hmm. and they'll blitz off the edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got a new name for.
What is it?
After this day in sports history, do you guys know? Mm-hmm. I think Coach McGuire should call that the Wolf Blitzer position.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he just like he's out there on the edge, he's defending a wide receiver, but then he comes off the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blind side of the quarterback. He's the Wolf Blitzer. Okay. And the reason I think that works is A, he's a blitzer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And B, what do you yell when somebody's coming down the court and they've got somebody behind them, you know, and they don't know they're there? The teammates are supposed to yell, wolf.
Wolf, yeah.
That tells them, hey, there's somebody behind you.
Right. Yeah.
Wolf, wolf.
Wolf.
Okay. So, because it's their blind side. Mm-hmm. So that's the way it would be with the quarterback. Plus, he's blitzing. The Wolf Blitzer.
The Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah.
You want me to run that by him?
I think, no. No.
Because I would preface it with saying, hey, Jamie and I were talking the other day, and Jamie came up with this idea.
Yeah. So maybe they could call it the wolf position that blitzes. Yeah, the wolf blitzer. But the wolf position always goes after the quarterback. Yeah, don't. Yeah, it's just, you know.
You know,
he's probably listening anyway, so he doesn't need you to tell him.
Yeah, right.
You're just looking for a conversation starter, aren't you?
Oh, I've got plenty of ideas by myself.
Do you?
Yeah, but okay, that's a good one.
Right.
I like that. The Wolf Blitzer. I was kind of thinking, you know, we call the, you know, when they put the running back behind the center, and they call that the Wild Raider, right? What I was wondering is, could you call that the Raider Blitzer or something like that? It doesn't quite have the same, you know, Wolf Blitzer. Could you?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like anybody on offense should be called a blitzer.
Right. No. Right. But I mean, they call it the Wild Raider. I was just thinking, could you incorporate that instead of Wolf Blitzer? Could you call it the Raider Blitzer?
Oh, maybe.
Okay. Raider mm-hmm. Blitzer.
Mm-hmm.
Raider Blitzer. 6:53 this morning here on the Morning Drive. If you have a thought or a comment, hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to TT973.com for that, or the mobile app. We'll have continuing coverage of the NCAA basketball tournament today. It'll all begin at 10 a.m. this morning on 100.7 The Score. We'll take you up to Lubbock Cooper baseball tonight as they take on Abilene Cooper. We'll have that for you at 7, and then more basketball after that. Don't forget Red Raider baseball tonight. Also tonight, Friendship Tiger Baseball. They play at Midland Legacy, as we'll have that for you at 6, and that'll be on Sunny 97.7. Red Raider Baseball against BYU tonight at 6, with play-by-play at 6:30 this evening here on Double T 97.3. It is just before 7. We'll take your thoughts, comments, your reactions to the basketball season. Ends last night as they lose to North Carolina State, and baseball falls to BYU in game one of that series, 8-5.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is a basketball, baseball Friday presented by Abundance Energy. I had to think about it. Today is Friday, right? Yes, it is. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. You can hit us up on that or the Visual Edge IT hotline. Okay, baseball. Last night, we've kind of discussed this a little bit. You had the bad inning in the third inning that gave up a crooked number there that didn't shut the door on you. It's hard when you get down 5-1 and you're playing from behind, isn't it?
That's a completely different situation, yeah. I mean, you're at that point, you're in a situation where you can't really use your best, your top bullpen guys, mm-hmm. because you don't want to spend them on a night that you lose. You have to save them for when you have a lead. Where is it flipped it, excuse me, and allowed BYU to use their best bullpen guys? We saw both of them last night. That's so. Hopefully that means that they won't be as ready to go for the rest of the weekend. But their starter did a good job. He gave him a chance. He stayed away from the big inning. Red Raiders continue to struggle to, you know, really put up big numbers offensively. So not just about that inning. You know, their starter kept Tech's offense down, and their bullpen came in and did a pretty good job. They did give up a couple of runs and allowed the Red Raiders, who kept battling, trying to get back into it, but just didn't have enough.
Yeah, I mean, you get 8 hits on the night. You only 1 walk, so the Tell me what you saw there. Is it, was that really good pitching, or was that impatience at the plate?
No, I think it was guy pounding the strike zone.
Really good pitching.
Yeah, okay. And it was a guy that came in with 16 walks and 24 innings or whatever, but he was pitching from out in front all night long.
Yeah, Ben Hansen, he goes 6, gives up 5 hits, 3 runs, 2 of them earned, walked 1, struck out 4, and then the 2 guys in relief. Mason Olson and Stone Cushing. That's a pretty good baseball name. Stone Cushing. Stone's a good name.
Sure.
It's a rock solid name.
But I'm
2/3 of an inning. All right. So Kyle Robinson will go tonight for the Red Raiders, and that's really good news. You've got your stud pitcher on the hill tonight.
Yeah, I would love to see a lot of what you saw last Friday night from Kyle against Baylor. I think that would probably be a little bit unfair to expect that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking for him to definitely give you a chance, and you're looking for the offense to get going. Again, you scored 5 runs last night, but it just, you know, playing from behind the whole game, or pretty much the whole game, just changes how things go, and got to get some life in that offense. They've got to find ways to get on base more, create some more havoc out there in the base paths, and give guys an opportunity to drive runners home. I mean, you batted 800 with runners in scoring position last night, Chuck, so that's good.
That is good.
But you can't do that if you don't have guys on base.
Right.
Yeah, you were 4 for 5.
Okay.
You need more guys on base, period.
Period.
Yeah. And so I wonder if we won't see some changes. I mean, so, you know, there's a fine line here, right, where you look back at last night and say, okay, there's one big play in the game that, you know, quite possibly cost you or led to four runs difference mm-hmm. in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you say, okay, I'm going to go all defense here. We are not going to lose the games because of our defense.
Mm-hmm.
But then your offense is struggling. So do you look at it and go, okay, we got to get our most offensive group out there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Have to sacrifice some defense.
Yeah, but...
And you're kind of between a rock and a hard place here.
What do you think they do?
I think I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Damian Bravo or Austin Green playing some center field.
Okay.
And whether that means Owen Washburn's over there and right, or you know, or Drew Woodcox also playing as well. You can't take Drew out of the lineup. He's the one guy that's hitting right now. You know, so maybe you do that. You take Harrelson out of the lineup because, just quite honestly, he's not hitting right now, even though he's your best defensive center fielder. I don't think they're going to run away from TJ Pompey. He's a really, really talented player. He's also 18 years old, and there's some defensive miscues. It cost you last night, no question. But I think that's a young man that you're going to kind of grow old with.
Mm-hmm.
And his bat is legit.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't have a big night last night, but his bat is legit. So
Can I ask you a crazy question?
It wouldn't be the first time.
Okay.
And I allowed it the other time, so okay. I'll allow it this time.
Okay. just a thought here. What about moving Tracer Lopez back to short?
He's already at short.
Okay. Then leave him at short. I'm sorry. I keep getting that wrong. But take Pompey out, make him the designated hitter, and put Austin Green at second base.
Like somebody suggested on the chat line.
Well, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I didn't see that on the chat line.
Okay. I'm not... it could happen. It could happen. It absolutely could happen. I like Pompey's bat and like to see him in the lineup, but that absolutely could happen. Yep. TJ also made two great plays last night defensively. Like, great plays. One on a foul pop and over along the first baseline there, right field area, and then a ground ball down across the middle. As a second baseman, he went across the bag backhanded with all his momentum going towards left field, threw a runner out at first base. I mean, a great play. Looked like a shortstop playing second base. And so there's positives there too. He can do some things for you. It's just the consistency of an 18-year-old kid not always there. You know, unfortunately for, I don't mean unfortunately. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. College baseball actually plays with freshmen, okay? Other sports that live and die with that we just transfer guys in for their junior and senior seasons, mm-hmm. college baseball still plays young guys,
yeah.
Okay? And because of that, you see some inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm. And the problem becomes is that you get into a situation where you don't have a choice too in some cases to.
Oh, you have choice. You have other talented players.
Yeah.
He's not the only guy that can mm-hmm. go stand out there at second base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the beginning of the season, it looks to me like he's a young man right now that just really needs to take a big, deep breath, okay? Because at the beginning of the season, he looked great. He looked solid defensively. He was making plays, making all the easy ones and some of the hard ones. And now, you know, I don't want to call it a case of the yips or whatever. It's not that he can't throw over to first mm-hmm. base. I just think he's pressing so much, and he just needs a reset.
And the tough thing is here you are in the middle of a Big 12 series. It's not like you can – I guess you could sit him down. But you don't want to take his bat out of the lineup either.
Yeah, no. I mean, again, he's a really good hitter, and I don't think he's a terrible fielder, but right now he's going through a rough stretch. There's no way to get around it. Yeah, and you're just, you know what? If the rest of the lineup hits, it's not that big of a deal, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You gotta hit. You gotta score runs. And in Big 12 play, I mean, going back to the last four games, you're not hitting.
Well, and here's the other thing too, and not to just totally cape up for him, is you're allowed to survive an error.
Yeah, the inning began with a four pitch walk, and after the error, there was two batters later a hit by pitch that was nowhere near the strike zone. Yeah. Okay, two free passes in the inning, again by a freshman pitcher. Okay, two free passes in the inning did not help the situation.
Right, but I mean the problem is that you had, like you said, a double play ball that didn't get executed, and it helped lead to four runs.
The Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
Can only imagine.
What can you only imagine?
What your question is today?
I can only
imagine.
I guess I'll stick with the hot topic of the day in Red Raider basketball.
Okay.
And I'm asking you if you could have any one thing be the focus this offseason for the Red Raider basketball team. What would be the number one focus for this team?
Man, the focus for this team. The focus for this team. I think you need a reliable guy that you night in, night out can get you 15 to 20 points, but do it in a way where you're not this massive volume shooter, because that person needs to be in the, I'd love for that person to be in the, I don't know, 32 to 35% range from three and around 40 from the field.
Okay.
I want the high school version coming, you know, the guy coming out of high school version of Dennis Rodman. And what I mean by that is someone that is literally sees the ball up in the air and says, that's mine. Doesn't matter. 10 feet above the rim, 5 feet off the court. Nope, that's mine. I'm going to go get it, and I'm going to throw it to my teammate.
Does he have to have colored hair?
Doesn't have to have colored hair. I mean, Dennis didn't get that till later. Remember, he was part of the Pistons for a while, and he was a normal guy then. Well, quote unquote normal.
Yeah, part of the bad boys.
That guy that just says every ball that's in the air is mine until further notice.
Wins the 50-50 and all that kind of stuff.
They aren't 50-50. They are 100-0.
Okay, excuse me.
That ball is mine. Everyone else get out of the
it's
way.
It's not a question.
It's not a question anymore.
Okay.
That's who I'm looking for. Go get a rebounder that can just absolutely take care of the glass.
Okay, I like that. I guess it's probably going to go along with mine. I think it was interesting, though, that you went with the high school version. Clearly, you want somebody that's going to be around for a while. I like that aspect of it. I'm going to go a little bit different, but also somewhat similar. I think you've got to hit the transfer portal for depth, a big depth, okay, in the post. Not just one, but at least two big guys that can rebound, play defense, and give you a scoring threat in the post. I just think your team needs to not be so reliant on the three-point shot.
I understand that. I just my only thought was just can you find yourself a score?
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand. I mean, you got to be able to score too. I just feel like, and I know that college basketball and basketball in general, high school, NBA, whatever, is so incredibly. The three-point line is so important now, and it's a game changer. It can be for certain teams, and so that's why I value what you're saying here, Chuck. I just feel like we know that some nights it's the three-point shot's just not falling for you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't ever say, man, some nights you just can't make your layups. Yeah. You don't really say that, right?
Right.
Sometimes you can't, but you know.
You're not making layups because the other team's got bigs that are filling up the lane like yeah. what you had last night, and you couldn't mm-hmm. penetrate. You couldn't get inside. You couldn't. Mm-hmm. You kept getting shoved out and out and out, and you're taking yeah. long threes.
I would just like more of a presence in the post, both offensively and defensively, and I think it's not just about one guy. It's mm-hmm. got to be more than just Warren Washington. Yeah. I know you're going to add Devin Cambridge back to the mix, or it sure. appears that you
yeah.
are.
Yeah, we think,
I
right?
think that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jamie, if the colored hair matched the shoes, this is from the 8th Flooring Center chat line, then would you be okay with it?
I think I will allow anyone to have – I will allow, like I'm setting rules here. Okay. You can have whatever color hair you want. It doesn't have to match the uniform. Okay?
Okay.
I don't know why you would make your hair
purple
or whatever mm-hmm. when you're wearing a red and white jersey. I feel like it wouldn't look good. But mm-hmm. you know what? You do you. Okay? I guess you have the right to do that. Okay? That's more of a what you do off the court as much as it is on the court. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it factors into whether it matches the shoes or not. I would like the shoes to be our school colors, if that's okay.
Yeah, but I think that's...
I don't think it is, though.
Man, it's a number of... you've gotten me on this shoe thing, and it's like every school's got guys that are wearing, I don't know, blue or...
I feel like it's slowed down.
Green. You do?
I feel like...
I don't know.
Watching yesterday, I feel like it's slowed down dramatically.
I saw a number of players wearing white shoes with flames on them, it seemed like. It seemed like a lot of games I saw had somebody with white shoes and flames. And they look kind of cool.
I feel like it's dramatically slowed down, like okay. the completely opposite color of the uniform shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, we had two guys last night, but I feel like the rest of college basketball has slowed down a little bit.
This from the 8th Flooring Center chat line. You never hear live by the layup, die by the layup.
Yeah, never. You hear live by the layup, win.
How about this?
Yeah.
I want this year's version of Tariq Owens and Matt Mooney.
Yeah. As good as those guys were, and I'm not knocking that thought at all, I don't want just 1 year. That was the thing about both of those two guys. I would have loved to have had them for more than just 1 year.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Unfortunately, that's not always going to be the way it is. I mean,
welcome to the transfer portal.
Welcome to every game you saw last night or yesterday that you tuned into. Here's so-and-so. He was a transfer from blah, blah, blah. He went to here, blah, blah, blah. And he finished up here because he wanted to finish up in his hometown. That was the case for one of the North Carolina State guys. He was at one school, then at Arizona State, and now he's at NC State. Mm-hmm. You know? And we're in the same boat. I mean, we got guys from all over the place. All coming collectively together. It's just incredibly...
Well, in fairness to the guys that are here from all over, we had to fill some holes.
Yes,
we didn't have enough players to fill the team at one point last year.
This NC State played top-level Big 12 elite defense. I bet they will blow Oakland off the floor. We shot the ball very poorly last night, but their defense had a lot to do with that. Yeah, I think that's well said.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We'll have... NCAA basketball, well, it seems kind of hollow now, doesn't it? You know, it's like, do we have to play the rest of the tournament?
I mean, you're the one brought it up.
Oh, I know. But I mean, it'll still be, I don't know, somewhat exciting, but it's not going to be as exciting as it would have been if you'd have been playing tomorrow and give you some anticipation and things to look forward to.
Yeah, but you, as a college basketball junkie, I mean, you'll be dialed in all night, tomorrow.
Yeah, I will be. Yes. I'll be. You know, I'm hoping to...
Praying for rain so it you don't have to leave the house. It gives you a reason to stay inside.
Well, I do have some duties tomorrow morning. I do need to desperately... I got to do something with my yard. I haven't done anything yet. I need to rake it and mow it. So... But if it, you know, if it sprinkles a little bit, then be too wet to maybe. I'll just tell the lucky lady it's too wet to mow. It's too wet to mow. Kind of go back to my, you know, teenage years when I would when I would use that excuse. Dew is out there. It's pretty heavy. It's not going to, it's probably should weigh a little bit. Probably should wait another day.
See, if you mowed yards in Houston like I did, you wanted to get out there early because hot fast.
No, I mean, we didn't have the Houston humidity, but we had plenty of humidity.
It got hot.
And it got hot.
Fast.
You know, I got you.
Like, break a sweat brushing your teeth in the morning.
No,
anybody else think we just, the third member of our crew this morning turned into Sylvester the cat there for a minute?
Got hot.
Hot, fast. Yeah.
Somebody wants to know, was Tech and BYU seeded too high? I don't think so. I mean, look, this tournament sometimes is about matchups. The matchup wasn't as favorable as maybe you thought it was going to be. You knew that there was going to be a problem inside with their big folks. But, man, give credit to the guy that came in off the bench, Ben Middlebrooks, who had a career night, played 22 minutes and 47 seconds and had 21 points. You know, he filled it up 9 of 10 from the free throw line and 6 of 8. From the field, so.
Do you wonder if the game plan was he averages 5.5 points a game? We'll let him shoot was part of it, and he just did.
Yeah, I think sometimes you got to make people beat you, and maybe that was.
We lose to this guy, we lost to this guy. That's fine, but we're not losing to these other guys, and he was the one that beat you. Well,
they had four in double figures, and their guy off the bench, leads them in scoring.
I just think they have a game plan of using their bigs on the offensive end of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams, I think, do not have as much of a game plan like that. I think Texas Tech uses their bigs, they use Warren Washington in the alley-oop game or whatever, but it's not like they run a lot of plays where they're getting him the ball with his back to the basket. They just don't do that, and most teams don't, because most bigs don't score with their back to the basket anymore. But they had two that they like to use that way.
Mm-hmm. 8:19 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Can we switch over to talking about pickleball until football starts, please?
Wow.
Pickleball.
I don't think Tech has a team yet, it'll probably become a thing.
Yeah, right.
Such a rage across the country now.
Rage across the country to do that. Let's see. Yeah. We'll have Friendship Baseball on the air for you today. They'll play down in Midland. That'll be on Sunny 97.7 and Texas Tech Baseball today against BYU Game 2. Man, the old BYUs, that was not a good outing for them yesterday as they took it on the chin. So they're done. So you have a couple of Big 12 teams out yesterday. Duquesne beating them 71-67. How about Nevada? Jamie, I don't know if you had a chance to see this or not, but they they had a huge lead and a 91 percentile of winning, and they ended up losing the game. Right?
Yeah.
They ended up losing the game.
Okay, question I ask you now for the NCAA tournament, and you obviously can't pick Kansas because that's a no-brainer. I obviously can't pick Syracuse because they didn't make it.
Right.
Who are you rooting for now? Like, there's got to be somebody that you're like, I'd like to see them win it all.
I picked UConn to win it all. I'm not necessarily rooting for them. Who would I like to see win it all? I've always liked Michigan State. They won over Mississippi State. I don't know how. I have them beating North Carolina. I'm rooting for them. There's a part of me that wants to see Tennessee go on a run. Do you have somebody in mind that you're rooting for?
I guess not. It wouldn't devastate me if Iowa State won at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
What about Auburn?
Nah. I'm kind of out on anything SEC.
Okay. Arizona?
I could get behind that.
Yeah. And because, I mean, that's that's another Hurley.
But then there's the whole...
I mean, coming to the Big 12.
Well, I know they're coming. Iowa State's also coming, as in they're already here.
Yeah, right.
But it's the whole, I feel like, eventually will you be recruiting against Arizona because you're close in proximity to them? Will you be... Will that be a team that becomes a rival to you? And
man, I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope you become a rival to them because they've had a pretty good basketball program. You have too.
Yeah.
How about Shaka? Would you root for Marquette to get in there? I'd root for Marquette to beat Houston to get into the Final Four. I wouldn't mind seeing a Marquette-Tennessee matchup in the Final Four. Rick Barnes against Shaka Smart.
Okay, so you're just wanting to rub it in, rub Texas's nose in the whole thing?
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit.
It's kind of funny.
I'm not gonna be mad if Creighton gets in there. They've kind of always had some really good teams, just haven't busted through to like an Elite Eight or a Final Four.
I wouldn't be devastated if NC State went the whole way.
Okay, yeah, I mean they're on a roll. They're on a roll. D-Rock says he's rooting for TJ, playing great right now.
Okay,
TJ Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had a good win yesterday. They beat Morehead State. Now they've got to take on Duquesne. I'm sure there's probably plenty of Illinois people that go, hey, okay, well, Duquesne beat BYU and. You know, they're an 11 seed, and you know, we should have a favorable matchup there. This, I don't want to say it, but Texas could make a run. I don't have them getting by Tennessee. So we'll see. Oh, yeah, Bobby Hurley is at Arizona State, not Arizona. I think it's Tommy Lloyd that's at Arizona, and Bobby Hurley is at Arizona State, and his team did not make it in. Thank you. For that.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.